Hello, hello. Welcome to Photobomb, and this is the Bad Monkey from Radio 13. And this is the second time that we are all gathered together here to talk about the New Zealand music industry. I am joined in the studio by...
Megan.
Hi. Hi, Megs. How are you doing? And?
Shawnee,
who are you representing tonight?
Music.net.
All right, yeah. Music.net. You're like, how should we say... One of those...
Publication slot, yeah.
No, I didn't say that. I was just going to say, like, you know, who do you parachute in when you want to fight a war? Mercenary. There you go. A photo mercenary. Fuck, I was being...
You're being really nice. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm always nice. God damn it. All right. Well, we have to give a special shout out here to Doug and Sarah from Ambient Light, who couldn't make it here, right? They are hardworking.
Absolutely.
Working very hard, yes. Mm-hmm. Got to earn that dollar because we don't make any doing what we do. And Steve is currently actually making his way home from what I hear.
Australia.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So he's out at sea, but I think we should be seeing him back in Aotearoa next week.
But we hope he's feeling better.
Yeah, we do hope he's feeling better. He has a bit of a thing, which I'm not going to say on the air. Call me or call him and he'll share the dirty details. But we do have Chony here, who is representing music.net, so thank you.
No worries.
All right. Oh, you both got to speak closer to the
mic. Yeah, sorry.
I want to hear you in my ears.
Yeah.
All right. So, Megs, what are we doing tonight? Megs leading tonight.
Okay. Right. So now we're going to talk about getting started in music photography and basically the best things that you can do to get yourself started.
Okay.
We'll probably cover maybe some technical skills, gear, gig etiquette or
pitiquette.
I love that.
I love that.
Oh, cool.
Something like that.
That's awesome, right?
And I'm sure we'll go from there. And okay, so getting started, we often have quite a few people come up to us while we're shooting and ask how you get started.
That's right.
So I'm actually going to go to Shawnee first because she's the newest.
She's the baby. She's the baby of us.
And so I think she'll have, you know, a good insight into today.
Yeah.
You know. So how did you find it? How did you get yourself out there and...
So I think I took the easiest route, to be honest. So my friend Yasmin actually ran a publication, which now I've taken over. But I just asked her, and then she just got started getting me media passes. And I'd never shot a gig before, and I was getting passes, and I was learning, which is the worst way. Just literally the worst way, because you are giving someone something to put on the internet forever.
Do you think
other
that
people
help?
Well, if you think it that way.
Yeah. So I look back and I'm like, why? Why did she say these were good? They were not good. They were terrible. I knew how to use my camera and I'd been shooting outdoor things. And, like, I used to work at Disney, so I used to shoot, like, parades. I'd shot performers before, but it's, like, in broad daylight. And the power station is not broad daylight. So the advice I give now is go... The thing is, you kind of have to be over 18, which is like a little bit of a... It deters some people that I've had ask. And I just say, well, because most of the small venues, especially in Auckland, are 18. You can get a fake ID. I'm not saying you should, but you could if you wanted to. But just buy... A lot of small venues don't mind you bringing cameras in.
Well...
But don't bring a flash. Just ask, like literally just ask them. Ask bands, approach them, just be like, hey, look. Or approach smaller publications like music.net. They take, I guess I'm representing music.net today, so we take, I don't know. Like I know a lot of people that started with music.net because it's there's so many local gigs all around the country that you can just shoot. So it's a nice stepping stone. And to build a portfolio to then maybe send to bigger publications.
Okay.
If you wanted to.
So going back a step, You obviously had an interest in photography. And
yeah.
You were doing it at Disney, like you said before. So what made you think that doing concerts is something that you'd want to do? And what made you actually get out there and do it?
Oof. Tough questions. I think, so I love music and I love going to concerts in general, not even just to shoot, just to go. So I was going to, in 2015, at the end of the year, I was going to like 8 a month, and I did not live in Auckland. I live in Hawke's Bay. So I was taking a $1 7-hour bus each way.
Word.
Dedication.
Just, and paying for a ticket and camping overnight and sleeping on the side of the road and in the airport and stuff just to see bands. And I thought, it's got to be an easier way, mate. And so then I started noticing, because when you're at the front of the show, you notice that there's photographers. I was like, do they just turn up with their cameras and they're just like allowed in there? Like, how does this even work? Because obviously you don't know. And as a concert goer, you're just like, oh, look at those people being annoying. And then all of a sudden they're gone.
Right.
That's what I just started noticing. Vanish. And I was like, wow. I was like, that would be so cool. Because I love, like, music and I love photography. I was like, wonder how you can do that. And then I just, like, was complaining on Twitter and my friend saw it. She was like, you could just ask. And I was like, you could just ask. And so I just asked.
Yeah.
Ask and you shall receive. And so, yeah. And then it's just growing. Like, I just love capturing the moments and the memories and the music. And it's just, everything's all together.
Yeah.
That's why I don't shoot anything else.
Coming into New Zealand.
Oof.
Specifically New Zealand.
Yeah, like, and coming into New Zealand and coming into the music scene in New Zealand.
Well, the reason why I came into New Zealand was actually not photography. It was actually for my wife. I want to go back to school, do another degree. I think, I swear, she collects them. But I
serial learner.
Yeah, she is.
It's a good thing.
Oh, you need one of those in the family, because I'm not. So I've always done professional photography, and I wanted to use this as a reason to go back into shooting music more as a focus, looking at it full time, because I started actually my career in music photography before branching off to doing other types. So I wanted to take that opportunity to learn about New Zealand music, but also get back into the pit, where before it was more ad hoc, you know, when the opportunity came and you get an assignment, you get paid, you go in the pit and you do it and you leave, right? But here I wanted to really focus on it. So that was the reason why I wanted to get back in the pit. And lo and behold, I meet this community of camera misfits who are so charming and lovable, and we have so much fun. So that was really cool.
Okay, so you're a person and you've got an interest in photography and music, obviously. And, you know, most of us have all done things like Shoni, travelled for miles, slept in terrible places, and, you know. and we still do it.
Yeah.
And, yes. You know, so the passion is obviously there.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's talk about the gear that you need, because quite often you see people talking and they're like, oh, if only I had this gear, if only I had that
gear. I have that lens, or I have
this lens, or that lens.
Or the latest and greatest,
But what do you think? Do you think you have to have the best gear?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, I would.
Your gear is what you make it, man.
Yeah, totally, totally.
If you have the latest gear, you can still take shit photos. You know, just because your camera costs $5,000 and some other dude's camera costs like $2,000 or $50, or you paid nothing, it's a hand-me-down from your dad because you can't afford anything, and you're like, oh, I really want to give it a go. And camera gear is really expensive. And if it's not something you're not 100% sure in, loaning it, borrowing it, using something, and then being like, wow, I really like this, or I know how to use it.
But I mean,
I'm guilty of that, though.
I have a slightly different opinion. I feel that there is a place for expensive gear, right?
Oh, I have expensive gear. Yeah. So
there is a place for it. I think the key is to understand the limitations.
Mm.
If you're going to take an expensive kit, I would take it to the darkest dungeon that you could find who's hosting a gig, because then you know you can shoot in low light and you can, you know, get some really cool pictures that you can potentially post edit and get something out of it. But shit, if you're going to shoot in a festival in broad daylight, fuck, you don't need an expensive camera for that, don't you, Megs, right?
No, God, no. Yeah. You know, some of the photos of my own that I love the most have been on the crappiest cameras ever. And actually, magazine covers.
Right.
You know,
it might even be in a fucking throwaway film disposable camera too, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's about perspective, I reckon.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so important.
I think it's an important part of learning to be a good concert photographer, because you might have done a course, you might have done an online course, you might have done another type of photography, but and you might be very, very good at it, but it's nothing
concert photography has no rules. Like, you could take a photo course or did in school or whatever, but it's so different. It's like, I mean, obviously the rules of using your camera still apply, but it's just the low light is so much different. And it's,
I was going to say that I know, and I'm very fortunate to meet a lot of people around the world who are into photography, and I have different friends who specialize in different photography genres of photography, and they try to go in the pit, and it's just not for them.
Can't.
It's just like me in scenery. Ask me to do landscape. Fuck off.
Just like, you know? I can't shoot a wedding.
Yeah, so we know our limitations, right? So we know, okay, if go in there and you can't. It's like everything. You work on your craft. You love music and you love being in the pit. And the first time you go in there, you're going to get some pretty horrendous stuff because you're not really sure what the fuck,
well,
right?
Well, geez, you can be 20 years down the track and still go in and get some pretty...
Well, when someone blows smoke into your camera and lights down into the pit, well, fuck, you know. But I think it's really just practice, but it makes perfect. But you got to like it. I mean, if you ask me to go and you pay me to go do landscape photography, I couldn't do it. I'll just say, look, don't pay me because you're going to get shit.
Okay, so basically we can safely say it's not going to be about having the best gear.
No.
So
it's about how you use it.
Yeah, how you use it and learning your gear.
Yeah, and lots of people use... Everyone says, like, you should like 2.8 or less, but I know people
that's
that shoot
an aperture.
Yeah, oh, sorry.
Those listening.
But I know people that only shoot like 4.5.
Or 5.6, because you're limited.
Because you're limited because of your, but yeah, so it's not, yeah, there's no, yeah, it's just what you are comfortable with, and
it's knowing the limits
of your gear as well. Yeah.
And sometimes I have young photographers who start out with Radio 13 and they say, look, I want to go and shoot a gig. And I always ask them, and as we all do, is, hey, give me a list of what you have, right?
Absolutely.
And once they say, and I hear and I see, okay, well, you're limited. I'm not going to send you to Whammy. Right,
thanks.
I'm not going to send you to Thirsty Dog.
Thank you for sending me to
Whammy. Well, I know you're going to. Thirsty Dog. Now, that's a challenge. But if it's like a Graylin festival where they have and they've got a stage, and I say, hey, you know, I'm going to send you there and you grab some shots and see what you can do, because I know it's daylight and you'll be able to kind of use whatever lens.
I think that's also why people, we ask, because I've had people email me and ask me to join the speakeasy, and they say, oh, I'm like, what gear? And they're like, does it matter? I'm like, well, yeah, so I know what venues I can and can't send you to.
Exactly.
It's not because I'm judging what you have. It's just I need to know.
Yes.
So
and also
I can see what.
There is sometimes when you start getting to the higher levels of concert photography, like I think the last big concert that I did that they actually asked for your gear was Iron Maiden.
Right.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, and they checked out every single photographer.
Okay.
They only allowed 5.
Yes.
And they checked out your gear list.
Yes.
And you had to have...
When I shoot overseas,
really?
It's the same thing. You have to, in your accreditation, there is a section where you describe what gear you have.
Really?
Yeah.
So obviously they only allow like DSLRs and all that and like certain ones, or...
Yeah. So it just had to be of a professional, professional standard.
Wow.
And back in the day, I mean, you needed to have external accreditation as well. If,
oh, really?
If you didn't have external accreditation, you wouldn't even be considered to be shortlisted back in the day. Now it's much more flexible.
So, you know.
Because before it was generally going to print, so, you know, they would shop around and somebody would buy it.
Before the internet.
Before the internet.
Yes, before iPhones got so good that everyone decided and before Instagram.
I feel like I was just born. Wow,
It's a new world.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And I think something that I personally think, I am very inspired by old photographs of in the 50s and 60s, Led Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix, all of those.
Oh, those amazing photos.
Amazing
that were taken
photos.
On film?
So,
on film.
And but I don't think that it's just the film.
Oh, that makes it amazing that you can take that photo in the conditions on film.
Well, that's the thing, is the photos themselves, they took them on equipment that is so far behind what we have now.
Right.
And they had a lot harder conditions, there wasn't the stage lightings that we have now, and yet we all still look to those photos and think they're just amazing.
But why? You particularly, Max, what is it in that photo?
Look at them. And so I use that as kind of a thing where I try not to saturate my photography. Like, I try and keep my shots down. I try not to overanalyze them too much. I try not to go, oh, my God, there's a little bit of grain in it, you know.
She's coming for me,
right? Yes, Shoni, don't worry about the grain.
Don't embrace the grain.
You know, so when you're starting out, you're going to get those shots that are kind of going to look a little bit like that. And one day you'll look back on them and...
And you'll actually love them.
And you'll love them, though, you know. You all love them.
I'll wait for that day.
But pushing, going back to what you said, Max, I'm curious to know, and you as well, Shoni, you said that you look at those rock and roll photographs in the past, right? And you say you love them, you still go to them, they inspire you. But what is it in that photograph that inspires you?
Probably because they were so limited.
I'm talking about visually. I'm not talking about the process or
moment.
How they captured it. But just visually, when you look at that photo, what
is
it?
Well, they were taking them on film. They had 12 shots.
Okay.
They obviously had better positions than we have now. I mean, you see footage of them and they're standing up in their faces. But I guess because there's just not so many of them.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Now, at a big concert, you can have just, download, you know, there was like 60, 70-odd photographers in the pit.
Right.
You know, in those days, it wasn't so many people around, so...
And it was a specialised job as well.
It was very specialised and stuff like that. So, to me, that's what I'm always thinking about, trying to be like that and keep my shots down and
I do notice that.
And sorry?
I do notice that in the pit. I notice everyone when I'm shooting.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay. Mm. What do you notice
She's
about me then? God
us.
Damn it. Monkey like.
Yeah. You know, because some people have like certain things that they do in the pit.
Okay.
Oh, tell us.
Well, tell us.
Tell us. Don't you, aren't you guys paying attention?
I am. No, well, I pay attention. What's on the fucking stage?
Yeah. I've probably smashed into every single one of you.
Yes.
Because I have no peripheral vision. Apparently.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but.
I'm so clumsy. I'm sorry. It's because I walk and I look through the camera rather than looking where I'm actually.
Ooh, look,
going.
Here's a monkey. Let me stab him with my lens.
Okay, so what do we do with
you
the pit?
You just, the concentration on your face makes it insane. But also, you're not just like ching, 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 ching.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
There's a lot
not.
Of people that are just constantly snap, 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 snap.
Machine
they used to be one of those because I was like, I can't miss it. I can't miss the moment. But but then just, I think it was before Jimmy Barnes, you were like, oh, yeah, I used to shoot like film, like you got 12 shots to get it. And I was like, and then, like, the lights went down, they came on. It's like, Are you serious? Shocked. Like, what? Like, my mouth was just like a gape. And I was like, and then I watched you for some of it during the opening act, sit down in front. And you're just like taking your time. It's like you're calculating. It's like you know what's going to happen. And obviously you don't. Or you might think you might know what's happening. But it's like you're calculating and like thinking like, oh yeah, that's going to be a good shot. And like looking, like, I'm going to go over there and like take it. This will be a better angle. And it's like, I just like watching the more experienced photographers, because I know that you guys sort of know, like, the more gigs you shoot, is also for like people who want to start as well, the more gigs you shoot, the more you, and especially different venues, the more you know where to stand, where to go, what angles, when to like go right up against the stage and when to go right back against the barrier, where to go. And by watching other photographers who have been in it longer, or maybe Spark Dave, he always shoots Spark, so he knows where the good... Obviously, don't...
Is it Gary?
The Spark Gary. Dude. Gary?
Hi, Gary.
Hey,
Gary.
I always forget his name.
Gary.
Obviously.
Gary Brandon.
I know, and...
He's lovely.
He is very lovely.
He's my favourite Irish.
And so, like, by watching the other photographers who shoot those venues more, especially there's a guy I always see at Whammy, they know where to go to get the shots at certain times. Obviously, don't follow them around in the pit. That's just annoying. But
there will be people who do that.
That I do take notice of those. But you gotta think in your mind, obviously, if Ruben and Megs are going over here, this must be a good spot. Or if Dave is doing this, it must be a good spot. If Gary's doing that. Like, you've got to think.
No, I'm just going to fuck with you now in the pit.
So you probably will. You'll be, like, standing in the shoot and, like, straight up at the ceiling, and I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's a great one. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, you've got to watch what other people are doing, one, to know what not to do, because there are some people that have terrible pit etiquette, but also by watching other people communicate, you know, taps on the shoulders and all that stuff.
It's very critical, especially
if you're starting out. Especially if you get sent to something big for your first one, especially if you don't know any of the photographers, it can be kind of awkward. Or even if you're a shoot power station, you've got half a meter and you've got to like you got to slip past each other. Like, it can be kind of awkward. So watching everyone, not moving too much, but then knowing when to move, and it's just really important. And by watching you guys calculate in your heads, it's interesting to watch.
Well, I mean, you see it like that. For me personally, I tend to listen to the music. Because I know when a drum roll's coming, so I know the actions associated with the drum roll.
Yeah.
And I know when a lead break is coming, so...
Yeah, and I can see it on your face. You're like watching and you're listening. Calculating.
And it's like, at the same time, cool to watch. You know, if there's good lighting, there's generally a pattern to it as well.
Yeah.
So it's like there's white and then so many beats and, it just starts to automatically happen. And I think it's really important for people starting to get into photography, music photography, to... think beyond their camera, you know, get into those small venues. Just get out into those small venues, but listen to the music.
Right.
Watch the bands and try and keep their shots down, and really challenge yourself to, you know, at the beginning, you go into a dark room with one red light, and maybe, if you're lucky, a blue light from another.
Or a candle.
or a candle.
Yeah.
And, you know, I certainly had my days of going home with 500 photos and, you know.
That's 10. Ooh, maybe.
It's like, But I don't like processing photos. I don't like sitting in front of a computer. No, I hate it. I fucking hate it.
Mean, oh, God, right, she's going off.
Well, Megs is old school. I mean, when back in the day, if you had film and you really needed to repair a film, fuck, it took us so much time in the dark room, right?
And I just don't like sitting in front of a computer.
No,
like,
same with me,
I just don't. So I would rather...
get it right in camera.
Yeah, just get it right in camera. And it's not that I don't make... I make raw adjustments. Unless there's a picture that I think has some kind of artistic, you know,
quality to it.
Quality, yeah. Or like at least I'm doing an artistic shoot.
Right.
But for general, for media, you kind of want it to look a certain way.
Yeah. But what you've said just now is interesting because you've just described, I think, how we all get into the zone. Right? We all get into a zone when you've got your three songs and you're counting, bang, you get into a zone, you're feeling the music, you're looking at the lights. Each of us just become a separate entity.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you boys and girls out there, there is a strange dance that happens in the pit where each of us start moving, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then those of us who know how to communicate would either tap when you're trying to go across someone, but never in front of a fucking lens. You don't fucking stand.
Always bend your knees. Your knees bend for a reason. And if you're passing in front of me and I get your head in my shot, I'll be so pissed.
Yes.
So unless it's a security guy's head, I'm off with it.
Yeah. And take your fucking bag off your back.
Yes. If you come into the pit and you've got a little cracking bag on, I will rip it from your shoulders.
Back down.
It's so annoying. I will politely ask you one time to take your bag off, please. Just remember, take your bag off in the pit. Like, be real nice. I'm so nice.
Well,
leave it on.
There's not much room there.
Especially if it's really small. Like, I understand maybe like a huge festival, maybe like Download, maybe. I don't.
Well, that's.
Is there anywhere to put it?
But you've got a fucking big pit.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a mess. Yeah, there's like a 4 meter pit, but it's a full pit. So it's like, where do you put it? And everyone's got the same bloody bag. Mm. So, like, and it happens to you.
Yeah, no, those stages are massive. So there is somewhere to put your bags.
And there's a media room and stuff like that.
Well, they didn't have media rooms, but they do have, because they're two massive stages side by side.
Oh, okay.
So you put your
stuff in the middle or something.
And then they've got security
watching it.
Watching
A lot of places, some, I don't want to say this in case bar staff get really annoyed, but you can maybe ask for them to put your bag behind the bar or leave it with a door person or just don't bring one. Like, just don't bring it.
Yeah, these days I tend to just
put your keys in your pocket, your phone in your pocket.
I'm just
going to
fuck with you now, Johnny, and
your
bag into the pit.
Put your bag on, I swear. God, it's so annoying.
It is annoying.
I mean, I don't mind. Actually, nah, take your bag off. No exception. Just take it off. So then you're not confused. Oh, is this a
don't
big pit?
Don't piss Johnny.
Johnny the bag lady.
Especially if you're like, I mean, if you're going to leave your bag on and you stay to the side, which is I've seen happen, that's fine. Like, but if you're like going to be like walking in front of us and you don't tap my shoulder and you're just like barging along with your little bag, like, nah.
Yeah.
It's just rude. Like,
it's rude.
We're all there trying to do a quote unquote job. And for you to like not follow these unsaid, well, like, not unsaid, I'm saying them right now, but like these sort of unwritten rules and laws of like the pit, it's just rude.
I think it's unwritten. It's just fucking rude.
Okay,
it's
disrespectful. So we talk, but this has segued us around nicely to pit
etiquette. Yeah, pit etiquette.
So what are the rules of pit etiquette?
Take a bag off.
Pit etiquette.
Pit etiquette.
We get that bag, lady.
Take a bag off. Just be nice. Like, would you like someone else to shove you? Obviously, when
shoving is definitely absolutely no. I mean, fuck that.
Yeah.
I'm not tolerant. No.
If you shove me, I will shove you back.
Unless it's playfully
Unless like we're in a mosh pit and there is actually no pit and you're with the crowd and you're pushing. Yeah, you're pushing me because
we're talking in a scenario where you got yourself into a pit.
Right.
Blessed.
And that,
well done.
So
it's a good feeling when you see that barrier there and you're like, yes.
I mean, the first thing is never cross in front. Right, so that's the first thing, because people are always trying to concentrate and get your shot. So one of the things that I like is that the tap on the shoulder is great, because the tap means that either someone's crossing or someone's behind you, and you just stay still. Mm. Someone
or you've been in that spot for far too long.
That's another thing. As
move.
Well. Yeah.
Or I do with my finger. I make a whirling motion, and it means like switch, please, because you've been there far too long.
Not the middle finger.
I mean, I don't think I've ever given that actually in the pit, but like, yeah, just sort of like. There are some people that stay in the same spot and you can't hog.
Yeah.
Can't hog a spot. Don't hog a spot. There we go. Another one. Don't hog a spot.
Don't hog a spot.
I mean, it's three songs, right?
Unless it's like a shit spot. Like, yeah, keep it. Like, I don't care.
So my pet hate is people holding their cameras in the air.
Oh, yeah.
Overhead shots?
Yeah. Like, I don't even know how they can focus their cameras, to be honest. Like, because how?
Well, you can. I mean, if you use that live view, and then after that, you sort of get that tap thing going on. I don't get it.
Those shots never work for me. I have tried I've tried the live view things in a really, really high stages.
Right.
Oh, like
at like Mount Smart Stadium, yeah, and things like that. And I just can't get them right to focus right. So I don't know.
If you're going to lift your camera or shoot live view above your eye line, as Liz going to say, because everyone's like, above head is a bit different, go off to the side or stand behind everyone else.
Right. Yeah, that's why I tend to go out,
yeah,
to the side.
You go out to the side so you can get, I go wide live view and then like touch, because I can take photos by touching my screen. So you touch where the artist is so then you can get the crowd.
Right.
Or you could just move your focal point.
Yeah. Okay, so
you know what I mean.
We're talking about things, etiquette.
Right. Very important.
So holding your camera in the air, like if you're the only photographer and you're not getting in, you've always got to remember the audience is there
behind you, yeah.
And, you know, they've paid to see the show, and also it could be a low stage, so you don't want to stick a camera right in front of the singer's face. And like I've seen that done many, many times.
Yep.
You don't want to be doing that either. So what else?
No phones.
Well, that's a hard one. I mean, I guess when you say no phones, mean no, don't use your phone to kind of video the stage or take photos.
Unless you're like off to the side. So this is obviously all of these things are bar if you're off to the side. You can do anything when you're off to the side. But like if you've got your phone and you're like Snapchatting or Instagramming, unless you are doing it for like social media purposes and you're paid and you're allowed to be in there from like the promoter, that's fine. But if you are, if you love this band so much, you can take a video when you're leaving the venue in the fourth song. Like you, I'm sure.
Well, like, a lot of the releases these days actually
say no iPhone, say no video. Don't take a photo on your iPhone while you're taking a picture on your phone. You literally have thousands of dollars in your hand that you're taking photos with. Like,
right.
What you doing, mate?
Well, some people want to do it real time and then they want to kind of stream it off, which, again, I think is frowned upon. I
a lot of PR, I don't like it. Like, we signed that one for Jimmy and it said, like, no video and no photo.
Yeah.
And I asked the PR, can I please take a video for my mum at the end when we're leaving at the back of the venue? And she was like, that is absolutely fine.
Yeah.
If you're in doubt, ask, I think. Yeah.
And,
those sort of things,
promoters are really good if you have a reason for something like that.
And there's another thing, really nice. Pet peeve, wear black. I mean, it's like really simple, wear fucking black, not orange. Basically. Not fucking white.
Ouch.
Black.
I wore orange the other night, right? Well, black tops on the wash.
I had a habit once of wearing my red Datsun's t-shirt. And then I thought,
if it's like blood dark red.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, don't wear white. I mean, I wore black and white stripes.
Oh, you just want to fuck with everyone. Let me wear my black and white so it comes out when you do colour.
But then they were like, because it was a power station, and I was like, oh, that's fine. Like, it's a small pit in our easy ass.
Yeah, what is that bending in my photo?
And then,
it's fucking chony.
Yeah. And then...
bag lady.
They gave us triple A's, and I was on the stage, and I'm in some of Shelley's photos, and you just see me like, black and white stripes, and I was like...
I think what you say is absolutely correct. The reason why the black is important is because there are times when we shoot backstage.
Yeah.
So you want to really blend into the background if you're there, right? But if you're in the pit and you're there for three songs and it's generally small.
Whereas dark clothing is
But dark clothing is their standard. I mean, when you look at media and those people who work on stage, it's always black.
Like you can always see my little blonde head bobbing around.
That's fine.
It's funny you say that because there was a show last year that I organised for a Christchurch photographer to be at, and I can't quite remember which one it was, but they had to wear all black, was in the release, and a black hat.
Oh, really? That's the first thing I'd seen. Oh, do a black.
I can't shoot
balaclava or something.
Yeah. Just like
balaclavas. Here you go, here's your photographer, balaclava.
Yeah.
Photographer on the back in black.
You know, the reason why for that is potentially because someone's filming from the back.
If
they're filming and you suddenly see this bag lady in black and white.
Bobbing up now with a little blonde
and
bun.
And a blonde head.
My bun right on the top of my head.
What the fuck? Now I can't.
They're like, what
send
is
this
that?
To Hollywood.
Yeah.
So
me bobbing around.
And it is all very exciting once you've got your camera and you've been to a few local gigs and taken some photos and you think, yeah, I'm good enough to, you know, get out there a little bit more, go to music.net, start taking some photos. When you get there, how did you feel the first time?
Nervous as all hell, man. Like, I still get nervous.
What was your first?
My first one, I did Protest the Hero at the King's Arms. May it rest in peace. And there, so I'd never been to a gig that small in general. So, like, I had no idea where it was. Yeah. I was with a friend because the PR, well, the editor of the magazine they were shooting for said that I had a plus one. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I've never been to this venue and I feel kind of, like, awkward and I force someone to come with me. Which is good. If you're young, ask if you can get a plus one if you're concerned about your own safety, especially at smaller, quote-unquote,
go-karts. Yeah, you've got to concern safety. Those gig photographers are fucking evil.
Yeah, we're all scary ass. We're not. Seriously, just come and talk to us. But, so there was, like, a table. Oh, I remember it so clearly, which is so weird. And there was, like, a table, and I just went up to it, and I was like, hi.
I'm the bag lady.
I'm a photographer. And they were like, cool. And I was like, I think I'm supposed to be like on some sort of list or something. Like, I had no idea even what a guest list was. Like, I went to gigs, but I was never concerned about like, oh, there's like, I'm on the list. Like, they just didn't care. Like, cool, I pay my ticket, I'm coming in. Like, it's fine. But like, they were like, oh, yeah, yeah. Like, and then they stamped us and they just let us in. And I was like, what? And then the next show I did was the next night, which is the Darkness at Power Station. Cool. And then obviously, so it was a little bit more of the etiquette. I think her name's Anna. I think she was on the door.
Anna. She's awesome. Lovely.
She's so nice. And so, like, you bring your IDs. Bring your ID. Because if it's R18 /...
Especially when you look like 13. Like, yeah.
Thank you. But yes, everyone does. Bring your IDs and also so they know how to spell your name. Then they just sort of check you and make sure you remember, obviously, who you're shooting for and have some sort of confirmation from either your editor or the PR, like a screenshot of the email or message saying that you're in, because you never know. Sometimes the lists don't get sent or you might get there a little bit earlier. So you've just got to, and I just say, like, oh, I'm on the list. And they're like, yep, cool. And then they go, who are you shooting for? And then you say, and then now she goes, hey, what's up? And hands me my pass. So, like, you know, it's just... And then Spark Arena and bigger shows, it's a little, you have to meet PR at the door. And you meet them and they take you in and they escort you and all that sort of fun stuff. It was really nerve wracking.
It is nerve-wracking.
And then all the photographers are standing around the door and I was like holding my little crop frame and nifty 50, like, You guys are all chatting. I was like, I'm not going to say anything to anyone.
But that doesn't matter because it's not about the gear.
No, it's not. You just feel really intimidated.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. You just feel intimidated. But if you just go up and you say hi and introduce yourself to everyone,
the times where, you know, you see a new face at a show, it's much nicer if they just come up and introduce themselves and you can start having a conversation, like, just as a person, who they are, what they do.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and just start to get on a personal level. Yeah. You just don't go in there and try to be a big noter.
Yeah, or fucking pompous
anything.
Prick.
Don't be a pompous prick.
Because, I mean, imagine, right, if you came up here and just said hello to one of us, you're just going to be introduced to all of us. So
yeah,
you very
we're
quickly
bring you over
and
like,
say, hey, this is so-and-so, this is so-and-so. So you make new friends so quickly. But yeah.
Yeah, and the reason that I was talking about that was because the sooner you, especially in New Zealand, we have such a small group of concert photographers compared to other countries.
Yeah, right.
So we're a very close-knit community. And the sooner you start talking to us, you learn things.
Yes, yeah. Don't I thank you for that. But yeah, there's only so much you can learn from one playing with your camera and like Googling stuff. Like someone's going to shoot with the same brand that you shoot with to help you and
like a couple of weeks ago, and you know.
So good.
Yep. I mean, what else are you going to do in between you know, waiting for the headliner to come on. You just shot the support. No, I'm just kidding. I think that sort
of... Is that the only reason you talk to us?
But I kid you not. I mean, I don't know how many gigs I've been to outside New Zealand where after you shoot the support act, everyone goes into their fucking corner on their phones and no one talks to each other. Every photographer is an island, right? Yeah. So you're the enemy. Fuck you. And I'm not going to talk to you. That's how it is. So
you can't get us to shut up.
But I mean, here is so great because we all sort of have this thing going. And in fact, it was so interesting. I was at the Tuning Fork recently and we all got to our places to shoot Tammy Nielsen. And there was a couple who was asking, it says, oh, there's so many photographers here today. There was five of us.
Ooh, and mind you, in the Tuning Fork, five photographers.
That's a lot.
Like the whole pair.
Yeah. But the interesting thing this couple made, this observation they made, is like, you all seem to get on very well and taking selfies and stuff. And then I realized, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Right? We all get along. We all have a selfie taken and then we all chit-chat about it and show our shots to each other. So this community is fantastic.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people, especially in like, I know a lot of American and Australian photographers, like just through Instagram and stuff, and their communities are not like ours. Everyone's always complaining about how awful other photographers are.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ruben, but a lot of male photographers are really mean to female photographers, especially younger ones.
That's no doubt. I have seen that.
Obviously, I know because like just any industry, that's just how it is, unfortunately. But like, I'm like, I've never felt that at all. And I feel so lucky that the like Auckland scene
I get intimidated by you guys. It's the other way around.
Why? Because we're a gang of giggling teens.
You should.
Yeah, we're so scary. But, like, the you know what monkey. I mean? Like, it's just so nice to have such, like, a supportive group behind you rather than just, like, editing and hoping for the best kind of thing, you know? Like, if you're ever struggling with something or you need a tip on something, you can, like, everyone's always open to talk about anything, really.
Yeah. So I think, you know, Ruben, from your perspective or our perspective, when you've got somebody who has been practicing their photography, they've been out to gigs just independently by themselves, like Shoni did, you know, buying concert tickets and stuff, what do you look for?
I look for the eye. I look for a creative eye. Mm-hmm. I don't mind grain. And I don't mind shots.
Go the grain.
Yeah, go with the grain, right?
Go the grain.
And sometimes shots might be underexposed or even, but I look for that eye, that angle, that mystique, that sort of, and you know, after you shoot for a while, you'll be able to look at a photograph and say, fuck, this person caught an angle in a very special way. There is a connection between the photographer and the artist on stage. That's the person I want to work with.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I have two things specifically myself that I look for. And that's one is the eye as well. And the other is their personality.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, if they come to me and they're all, you know, all fairy-like or...
High maintenance.
High maintenance or whatever. you know, I tend to... not take it so seriously at first, you know, or I'll watch.
You do, Megs. You are just one of the... You have such a big heart. I'm the asshole in the whole place because I usually tell photographers, fuck off, because I don't want to work with you. Well, but you have such a big heart.
It's just that you don't hear me behind doors, guy. You fucking... see you next Tuesday.
Very true. Very true.
No. Yeah. I would never like to be the person to destroy someone's hopes and dreams you know, I'd like to give people
constructive criticism. It's very important.
Now that is something that I actually had to say was, you know, if you
both guns blazing
gonna get into music photography then and you start talking to regular concert photographers, be you know, request constructive criticism.
Yes.
And listen to it and be prepared for it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know. Because at the same time it's still subjective. It's always gonna be subjective. Mm.
Right.
And sometimes it is really going to come down to what you feel about a photo. You'd love a photo.
Yeah.
If I can interrupt you, I remember something very special for me anyway, is you say about constructive criticism. I can't take it. Fuck anyone who's going to fuck with my photographs.
Oh, really?
However, oh, absolutely. Oh. I think I can't speak.
The mic is a punk rocker.
I can give it for sure.
But what I was trying to say is, nonetheless, I know a few photographers who I send my shit to, who sees my shit, that I trust them, and I ask them to give me constructive feedback because I trust them and Sorry?
Who are they?
One is Dave Simpson. Yeah. I kid you not.
Dave, how does he do that, man?
But the thing is, you see, Dave and I shoot very differently. Very differently, but yet we are able to talk about each other's strengths and weaknesses in the photographs that we shoot in a very amicable and neutral way. So I don't take offense.
No.
And he's a perfect gentleman. No.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot of good things about Dave, but somehow I connect with him and we are able to have a professional discussion, which I can see is valid.
Yeah.
Well, I think, too, if you respect somebody and what they do, obviously you're going to look for CC from somebody who's doing music photography.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have respect for them yourself, it's a lot easier.
Yes, absolutely.
To embrace negative criticism.
The interesting is also when I give criticism, I'm always conscious that I don't want you to shoot like me, right? I'm not criticizing an image because, hey, I would shoot it differently and it should look like this. Fuck no. And that's the good thing about Dave, too, is he would never say, hey, you need to shoot like this so that you can get into Getty or his style. No, everyone's style is special. It's sacred.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you think these days, I think constructive critique is... it's a little bit misunderstood.
I feel like
sometimes because I read and there's a few big worldwide concert photography groups, and then you'll see somebody put up a photo and they'll say, "What do you think about this?" And then you'll have 100 comments of, "I would have done this. I would have done that. I would have done this.
So
I would have done that."
Is not constructive.
Do you consider that constructive?
No, that's you being an asshole.
Yeah. Completely. You're just putting me down, or you're better than me, which never happens.
I always like constructive criticism when I send my, this is going to both of you as well, for when I send an album or a gallery to a publication at the end of the, in the early morning, after a gig, if you want to give me feedback on that, I will take it because... One, you can't get better if you can't take the constructive criticism.
Right.
I know you're not like, oh, this photo is shit and I would have never taken it ever. I mean, you probably can think that. Don't say it to me. I'll be, made me really sad. But like, there's a way of like,
and I'll crash into you purposely next time.
Maybe you could try this next time, or this photo image is not. This is weak. This is making the gallery weak. So maybe you could cull that one next time. Maybe don't put it in, or maybe try this if you know the venue. But if you can't take it, and if Ruben was like to me, oh, this photo, the one of Troy Kingy where the girl's in the background, like it's not a strong image because she's in the background.
Right.
I'm not like, oh, you know what? Fuck Ruben. Nah. I didn't like, you know what I mean? Like, some people think that they're like, oh, that's mean. I love this photo. Fuck them. Fuck this. And then they just don't shoot for them anymore. Like, he just said the girl in the background's distracting. And you know what? It is.
Right.
And she is. And like, I should just like cropped her out or like moved a little bit to like miss her. And so that the artist covered the person in the background. Like, so next time I will be conscious of what's around.
Yeah. Well, that's it. You can say, okay.
So
that's
like, I know what's happening. And it's just like, you've got to be able to take it. And like, it's nothing. It's not a personal attack.
But I have to say, since you are talking about me criticizing your shit, I'm going to criticize you now by saying that
I get hurt really easily.
Also embrace the strengths, because I love to talk about a photographer's fucking strengths.
Yeah, so obviously if you ask for constructive criticism, it's always nice to get like, oh, but this shot was really good. And
constructive criticism is built up of both
positive and negative.
Yeah.
Well, the negative isn't always.
So, Well, the other thing that I really wanted to talk about was when you first start, and that we haven't talked about yet, is how you get into these gigs. Like Shoni and even me would buy tickets to shows.
Just different times.
Yep. And like smuggle your camera in, whatever.
Not the easiest anymore.
So in this day and age, it's a lot easier to connect with bands with Facebook and things like that. Stuff, what I wanted to talk about was connecting with bands, local bands, and getting your own photo passes to get out there, and the value in doing that, and also what not to do.
Oof.
Right.
Okay.
So
this one's a hard
one. One of the things that I really like to tell, you know, that people need to remember is that when they are providing these photos, they've got a pass, they've connected with a local band who's playing, I don't know, at an RSA or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Or a festival.
They've got a pass, or a festival. They've got a pass, they go and shoot, and then they get home and they've got 600 photos.
Guess what?
You're going to be up all night.
And you're going to be up all night. And so what advice would you give to somebody in these first early months of dealing with these bands and to present yourself professionally, the things to say to engage properly with the bands, the things to remember, like your copyright and intellectual property.
Mm. Right.
How many photos do you provide? How do you present it on social media? How did you go about it?
Honestly, I hardly ever approach bands. One, because I can always get passes through publications. And
which is sometimes
sometimes I have gotten passes through bands before, but I just have this thing where I just get scared of them, which is so stupid because they're just people and lots of them are younger than me and I need to like calm down. But I get so it's the thing with the intellectual property is super important. I think a lot of even bands after you've shot for a publication will ask you for the photos. You've got to remember that the copyright one belongs to you. If they're selling the photos, you should get money as well because it was your photo and you took it if they didn't pay for it outright, like if that makes sense. So I've seen, so like if you shot a gig for a band and then they just started selling your photo on a t-shirt.
Well, that's I think a different.
You've got to, what you have with the band, you've got to make it nice and clear for them as well, because they don't want to upset you either, probably, or other photographers. Because once they know,
quite often it's that they actually generally don't understand.
They just don't know, and so you've got to. I have a Word document that if I do work with a band, that I'll send to them with the Dropbox folder, or even before. Like, hey, normally it's like, hey, I see you're shooting at Galatos this weekend. Like, would you mind giving me a pass and I can give you some photos? Mm-hmm. However, you can put them on your social media and credit me, but you just can't sell the images is normally what I say. And the credit is my Instagram handle, and then on Facebook it's the same thing, just because. And then if you want to use them for merch or whatever, we can talk about that later. Right. If you want to, because I know no one's going to want to use my photos for merch because I have low standards of myself. But like, you know what I mean? So I'm just like, oh, but then some bad.
Shoney.
I know. It's just,
you're the bag lady.
Just a bag lady with her stripy top.
But I mean, just to say, we got a 5-minute mark. But coming back to what Megs has asked, I think it's very important that we. Well, it's good that we end on this note. Are you really focusing on a portfolio? I mean, how do we each build a portfolio to start as a gig photographer? Is that your question?
Well, I mean, this all leads into building a portfolio, which is obviously getting out there.
Right. So this is the initial part before building a portfolio.
This is the initial part. You're getting out there and you feel like you've got the capability to approach a band and say, hey, I've just started in music photography. Can I come and shoot your show?
Right.
Chances are these people are gagging for a photographer.
Yeah. I'd love it.
So they'll say yes. So what I do, you know, for me, I'm very clear with bands that I work with. I'll go and shoot any band once for free.
Right.
But I'll give them literally 10 photos. Right.
Oh, really?
10, okay. 15 photos.
Once for
I'm
free?
I'm not going to sit up all night.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
But those photos are for social media use only. Mm.
And those photos are a reflection of your capabilities.
Yeah. So, like I'll give them a gallery that's a proofing gallery, and there could be, you know, 80 photos in there, but they'll only get 10.
Right.
And they can be, they'll choose them, and...
Wow, you're generous. Just give 10.
Whatever, however many.
These are the best 10. This is a 10
well,
I like.
Well, this is my 10.
And then it's
do with
like,
them what you please.
You know, you can, they're only a certain size. They're a social media resolution.
Oh, yeah, social media resolution, not high res.
For sure.
Have in the metadata that they're not to be used for commercial.
And your copyright, your information.
My copyright is in there. So that's something that I would advise that. Before you start, you know, approaching bands, you learn about this intellectual property side of things and your copyright and the deliverables.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And then start putting yourself a portfolio together. Come see me and Ruben and Doug.
And Lisa.
And Lisa.
Yeah.
And Steve.
Yeah. And say, hey, I would like to. Hey, bro.
Hey, bro. Such and such is my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't request to go shoot a band the night before. Never works.
Yeah. Give at least, when the presser comes out or like when the announcement is made, then contact it that you're interested so that they can do pre coverage and then maybe like a couple weeks out confirm so that they can send it. And then you will be notified on the day, right? Yeah. Don't email me 2 days before.
But okay. I think we've got
maybe 4 minutes left, and I think we should end talking about where portfolios should be, because I think that's an important question you had, Meg.
Yeah, it is. So a portfolio, I know if somebody gets in contact with me, I ask them to send me, well, hopefully...
They have a website or something.
They have sent me some kind of link to a portfolio, whether it be on Facebook or a website or something like that.
Instagram, it doesn't matter.
So,
as long as it shows.
Yeah, it doesn't matter as long as there's something. For me, when I'm looking at portfolio photos, I like to see small venues, dark. Shots. I don't care if they're grainy. Mm-hmm. I just like to see interesting shots. And have we gone over time? Yeah, I like to see interesting shots, and I like to see dark, and I like to see how people handle light.
Interesting.
And you know, the different types of light.
Good mix.
So, and then at the same time, I sort of get into a conversation with them and I glean a little bit about how easy they are going to be to work with. What about you, Ruben?
Similarly, I mean, I'd love to see a variety, but if someone does focus on music photography, they only have music photography, or maybe just a few bands. Similarly, it's how have you managed to capture the light? I want to see drama, I want to see excitement, I want to see energy.
Yeah.
But most importantly, it's what does the photo speak about you, right? It's not about your gear and all that.
And
we
it's
will
not
get
about
into that.
Shooting the most famous band in the world and saying, hey, I shot Ramstein then or whatever.
Hendrix.
You know, that doesn't matter. Like, I certainly... I'm not looking at who.
Yeah.
It's
there's a subject is irrelevant. It's really how did you manage to make that subject so interesting.
Which is really hard for my generation and the generation below mine.
True.
The like younger kids, it's what you see on Instagram, it's who.
Okay, we need to give some final words.
Oh, already.
Some final words.
Final words.
Okay, well, obviously this is a top of the echo go on for you. Yeah. So hopefully we have opened up something today and maybe come back to it. If you have any questions for us, then email us or and maybe we can incorporate it into one of our next shows when the others are here as well.
Yeah, cool. Thank you, Chani, for coming in to replace Steve.
Bag lady, you see me with my stripes.
We love now you have a new nickname. So to everybody, this is Photobomb, episode 2. Join us again next month.